You're listening to Fox Sports Radio. Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ, live coast to coast, 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock here in Vegas. An action-packed hour on Friday for you. Yep. NFL season, pick-palooza. Picks on all the biggest games, including the wisest wise guy wisdom. One key point on every game. Also, recapping Thursday Night Football. I think you're going to be surprised at the Vegas takeaways from this game. Also, bottom of the hour, world premiere, Colin Cowherd's pick number 6. Hear it here first. Joined in studio by the pros who know. Brad Powers, all the college knowledge. Steve Fezzik, NFL expert. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to know more than their buddies. Here's my personal promise. We will deliver the Vegas truth to you. You can't have pros without Joes. He is Jonas Knox.
Thanks, RJ. Always good to be here as we come to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, where it's easy to save 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. We start in the NFL, where the Titans beat the Jaguars 30-9 on Thursday night, thanks in part to Derrick Henry's 4-touchdown performance, including an NFL record tying 99-yarder. Henry finished with 238 on the ground. The Titans improved to 7-6 on the season. Jacksonville falls to 4-9. So, RJ, what is the Vegas perspective on what we saw Thursday night?
Well, one is Blake Bortles is better than Kessler. Imagine that. Bortles is better. You don't hear that often. But let's look at QBR. Good measure of quarterback performance. And keep in mind, the number equals a percentage. So, for example, on the season, Bortles, his QBR, 47. That means he was better than 47%, not as good as 53%. So just a smidge below average. Kessler on the season, 32. All right, do a little math. That's worse. Now, we can talk all about, well, Kessler's horrible too, but boy, Jags, no upgrade with Kessler. Fez, agree, disagree?
I agree. I had thought that maybe there might be an upgrade with the rest of the players around him playing much harder, but I tell you.
So the around who?
Kessler. Around Kessler on offense.
So the theory was Jags are sick and tired of Bortles. Now, why would, I mean, is it just a matter of that they are like, you know, when I think about Bortles, here's how I feel.
Sick and tired of hearing that.
Or, or was it the idea, and I think there's some truth here, it's money. As Cyndi Lauper said, money changes everything. And there's a finite amount to go around in an NFL organization for the players. Hard cap. Bortles got signed in a contract that a lot of people didn't agree with, a big dollar contract. You've got Saxonville, one of the best defenses last year for sure in the NFL. And then a below-average quarterback gets 20, whatever, like tens of millions of dollars. They're thinking, that's my money. And then if he played well, they could say, okay, he deserves it. And I will win a Super Bowl and I'll get paid soon enough. But now it's the worst of both worlds is Bortles is making tens of millions of dollars and he stinks and the defensive players aren't getting the money. That was your theory on why Jacksonville Fez played so well defensively last week against the Colts in the first start of Kessler.
Yeah, so we had an all-in effort where they shut out the Colts And I was impressed, but more and more, that's looking to be a fluky one-game result.
Yeah, so when you lose seven straight games, then the defense plays really well. But something fundamental changes. The quarterback kind of makes sense. It might have been a motivational issue. But now, on Thursday Night Football, in front of the world, you think they'd want to keep their momentum. The fact that the Jags didn't, I think it really speaks to the idea that last week was the fluke with the strong defensive performance for Jacksonville and the team we've seen this year that lost seven in a row, lost his Thursday game, is pretty much the truth. They are what their record says they are. By the way, Fez, you do your power ratings, put them out on Twitter, up at pregame.com every week in the NFL, 1 to 32. I think they're the best. What adjustment did you make for Jacksonville?
I lowered Jacksonville a point and a half. That's a big adjustment, RJ, and it's all about effort. I've never seen a defense get knocked to the ground so much by a running back as I did with the stiff arms of Derrick Henry last night. The effort wasn't there.
I'm RJ Bell. That's Steve Fezzik. We are straight out of Vegas recapping Thursday Night Football. I think you might be a little harsh on the Jags. A little bit. Here's why. Amazing stat. Nothing less than amazing. Road underdogs on Thursday Night Football last three seasons. So 18 this year, 17, 16. Last three. 28 times there's been a road underdog. And that was what Jacksonville was yesterday. 3-25 straight up. They won the game 3 out of 28 against the spread. 5-23. Road underdogs on Thursday Night Football last three seasons have covered 18% of the time. Guys, next week, huge Thursday game, Chargers at Kansas City. We're going to have a road dog. Let's remember that when we'll be talking about it next Thursday for sure. Last thing, quickly recapping Thursday Night Football straight out of Vegas. Tennessee won the game by 21 points, three touchdowns. Wow. What kind of upgrade for the Titans?
Modest upgrade, only a half-point upgrade.
Hold on. They win by 21, and you upgrade them a half a point.
Well, you just cited how well these home favorites do on Thursday night, and I think
But under that theory, you have to excuse Jacksonville.
Yeah, the eye test just says Jacksonville is a dead team at 4-9 that almost went to the Super Bowl last year.
Well, it goes to show you as we wrap here, it's some of it's art, and some of it's science. So taking the full recap on Thursday night, Jacksonville, what we thought they were, significant downgrade. Road dogs, horribly on Thursday. Short rest, half the rest. It makes sense. Bortles and Kessler, both bad. But quite frankly, Bortles, at least statistically, better. Tennessee, slight upgrade because a lot of things in their favor. Jonas? Any closing thoughts?
Jacksonville's bad and Tennessee's mediocre. I mean, when the score was 13-2 at one point, I said you could pick any other team around the NFL, and I would say these two would be the team that had a 13-2 score on a Thursday night game. Yeah, pretty much it. It looked like I thought it was going to look, pretty much. So,
All right, well, we got some Heisman talk.
We do, guys. Saturday night is a big night. The next Heisman Trophy winner will be crowned in college football. And when it's a big event on a Saturday night, we do something on the show called this.
And action.
Time to get some Saturday night action in.
Guys, we had a debate on the show yesterday about the Heisman odds and how things would look come today as we get set to crown the newest Heisman. So, RJ, what is the latest from Vegas on your bet with Steve Fezzik?
Yeah, listen, Jonas, wise guys don't debate. We bet. And we're going to explain who won that one. First, though, let's set the stage with this Heisman roller coaster. Less than a month ago, Tua was a huge favorite, minus 1,000. What does it mean? You had to bet 1,000 to win $100, $10 to win a dollar, or as I like to think about it, $50 to win a foot long sub. Okay, huge favor. Then earlier this week, after the conference championship games, obviously not Tua's best game, Murray played well again. It was a flip of the favorites. I mean, wowza, went from minus 1,000 with Tua to Tua being the underdog, and Murray becoming the favorite. We were befuddled. Conspiracy theories from Joan. We were debating, what could it be? Inside information? Well, then, yesterday, Thursday, the Associated Press came out with their player of the year. Lo and behold, Murray wins it. And remember, the AP player of the year, very predictive about who wins the Heisman. And then Murray went from being about minus 160 up to minus, all the way up to minus 270. And that's where the disagreement began. Fezzik, yeah, two super contests. The only guy to do it. He had big, big, big ego.
In all the five boroughs, I'm known. I'm known all over the f***ing world.
But that didn't scare me. We had a bet. What will the closing line be midnight Friday? Fez said, minus 300, no problem. It's going to run with Murray. I said, no. We bet. And then what happened? Today, two more awards we can report on from last night. Brad, give us the update.
So Tua Tagovailoa won the Maxwell Award. That's not as predictive, but in a sweep, which is much more predictive, Tua also won the Walter Camp Award last night. So you got two predictive measures. You got Murray on one side winning the AP Player of the Year, and you got Tua sweeping the Maxwell and the Walter Camp.
And what we do at pregame.com on Straight Out of Vegas, we dig into the data, and when they agree, when the AP and the Walter Camp agree, player has won every time in the last 15 years. Six times they've disagreed. AP with one player, Walter Camp with the other. AP 5-1. So really, based upon that, Brad, history tells us, and again, it's not a ton of history. History tells us the AP winner, Murray, is in the driver's seat. What are the updated odds?
Updated current odds have Kyler Murray still a favorite, but now minus 220, slightly down from when you guys made that bet between you
so
and Fez.
So Fez said, that's a great way to recap it. You can explain it, Brad. I'll ask the question. Fez said what was going to happen to the line.
Oh, it's going to run. So meaning it was minus 300 or above.
Oh, Murray. It was like Murray money. Yeah. Murray, Steve.
Minus 500, yeah.
Remember in Wall Street when they said quarters and halves aren't going to matter. This one's going to the moon. Fez, you know that movie.
Going to Pluto.
Exactly. That's what you said, right?
I did.
And what happened, Brad?
Odds dropped. It went down. So instead of minus 270 for Murray, you can actually get a better price if you think Murray's going to win. Minus 220.
I am driving around town today, and on the radio I hear, big day for Tua, taking home hardware in multiple contests. I don't even check the odds. I know I'm a dead man on this bet.
Just walked in. I always like the crowd across the country, the listeners, to be able to hear it. This is the money he paid. We only do hundreds here. And another RJ winner.
I hate losing, RJ. I'm not going to lie. I hate losing.
You think you'd get used to it.
Yeah.
When you butt heads with me, baby. Up next, we call it wisest wise guy wisdom, the most important factor in every NFL game.
That's a victorious RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Time and money. Now that's progressive. Call or click today.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, the wisest wise guy wisdom as we preview every single game this Sunday in the NFL.
We bring the fun of Vegas straight to you each weekday. Right now on the Strip, 58 degrees. The neon is pumping.
Guys, let's get right to it. And we start in Kansas City, where the Chiefs are a 6.5-point favorite hosting the Ravens.
It's been over one calendar year since Kansas City lost at home. Think about that. By the way, a lot more on this pick in about 15 minutes. It's the world premiere of Colin Cowherd's pick number 6.
An AFC South battle sees the Texans a 4.5-point favorite hosting the Colts.
One of our basic premises is you have to be contrary to bet the NFL. What does that mean? Everyone's going one way. You don't want to go that way. Why? Because where everyone goes is expensive. And in a marketplace, when you're betting, if you're buying something expensive, means you're not getting value. Texans, 9 straight wins. If you take teams since 1997 with 9 or more straight-up wins in the same season, the next game, 36% against the spread. So a drunk baby flipping coins hits 50%, but these super-winning teams only hit 36. It shows you it's all about buying cheap teams. Texans expensive this week.
It's the Browns and the Panthers, a pick 'em in Cleveland.
I tell you, Fez, this is one I think there's a big question. I'm going to ask you the question. On one hand, you could say Panthers' stats are so much better than their record. You look at their stats, excellent, superior, winning in the last 4 games, but they've lost every one of them. Now, what we would typically say is like a blackjack table, oh, look, that guy from Grand Rapids, Michigan, just won 4 straight. Shut down the casino. No, the math is on your side. Just stay the course, right? But these are human beings. What I saw Carolina do this week was panic. They fired 2 defensive coaches. Now Riverboat Ron is going to be calling defensive plays. If that was best, why didn't he call defensive plays last week? I think on one hand, if Carolina stayed the course, I'd want them this week. On the other hand, it looks like they've panicked. What do you think?
Well, early in the week, I was liking Carolina, but now I'm in your camp. I am very worried, and I'm not sure Cam is close to 100%.
So you think not only with the panic, Cam's shoulder's a little banged up?
Yes.
All right.
Minus Mike McCarthy, the Packers are a 4.5-point favorite hosting the Falcons.
You know, I think Colin has been on this story wonderfully. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be as focused as any game this season, any game since big playoff games. Why? Imagine the 2 scenarios. On one hand, they win. Everyone's going to go, yep, Aaron Rodgers is great. McCarthy was the problem. They lose here. Imagine what that next week's going to be like. Personally, I think Aaron Rodgers has underperformed this year. Thus, the Packers are being graded based on that underperformance, being priced. So I actually have a pretty strong lean to the Packers, believing that Rodgers is going to exceed the baseline he set for this season.
And a big weather edge for the Packers here, 28 degrees, and a team from the South that's used to playing in a dome heads to Lambeau.
Speaking of the South, we go to the NFC South, where the Buccaneers are hosting the Saints. New Orleans, a 9.5-point favorite.
You know, Tampa Bay has gotten a lot of love from the Vegas wise guys, the syndicates, the biggest bettors, the ones betting hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. And it's kind of befuddled me. So when I see the market saying one thing and my eyes telling me something else, I dig in. And what I've uncovered is it's obvious Tampa's been really bad in turnovers. And it's a basic premise of Vegas that those tend to even out. But I didn't realize how bad Tampa's been in turnovers. 8 times this season, -2 or worse turnover margin in a given game. And in every game, they weren't that bad. So in every game, they were better than terrible in turnovers. 4 times Tampa Bay, 4-0 straight up. I think this Tampa team, at least from the public's perspective, underrated.
I agree, and I also like the under in this game. This is the biggest weather game.
Under the total.
Under the total of 56. We've got 15-20 mph winds, RJ. 90% chance of rain on a grass field.
Bills hosting the Jets. Buffalo a 3.5-point favorite.
I am in disagreement with the sharps here. What we've seen from the market, Fez, and I'm going to ask you the question, is McCown versus Darnold. Personally, I was a McCown guy. Now, his first game, he was pretty bad, but it's an older guy, didn't get a lot of snaps. As these games have progressed, I felt like right now, at worst, even against a rookie, but the marketplace has been saying the rookie is preferred. If you had a Jets ticket, who would you rather be quarterback?
I'd be pretty indifferent if Darnold was 100%, but I'm not sure that he is close to 100%.
So you're saying you want to go with McCown also?
Yes.
But the market thinks otherwise.
They do.
Gives us an opportunity.
Patriots at the Dolphins, New England -8.
Everyone's heard the stat, but let's quantify it, or at least the concept. We remember Miami upset New England on Monday Night Football in Miami last year, but last five times the Patriots went to Miami, Dolphins are 4-1 straight up, 4-1 against the spread, dominating Brady and Belichick in Miami.
Giants at the Redskins, New York, a 3.5-point favorite.
We talked about this early in the week, but it bears repeating. Right now, today, the worst team in the NFL, in the eyes of Vegas, the Washington Redskins. Washington would be an underdog against Arizona on a neutral, an underdog against the Raiders. Now, I'm not going to get into Alabama versus Washington, but worst team. Why? Yeah, Alex Smith to McCoy, about a 3-point downgrade. McCoy to Sanchez, Fez, you initially thought three. Another three, you're thinking more now.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards four. I have no confidence in Sanchez.
I mean, 2 years out of the league, totally unfamiliar with this offense, couple weeks in. And oh, by the way, the idea that the Giants are favored by 3.5 on the road, you know the Redskins are bad. Also, O-line for the Redskins, been really beat up. Even more beat up after Monday night.
The Broncos, winners of three in a row, are a 3.5-point favorite at the 49ers.
This feels like one of those sell high situations. The Broncos won three straight. Obviously, signature wins against the Steelers, against the Chargers. I mean, hard to beat two better teams than that over the course of 3 weeks. But then we look at turnovers. In those three games, Broncos +8 in turnovers. +8. I mean, it's hard for an NFL team to lose when they're +8 in turnovers. Now, everyone's excited. Unfortunately, though, Sanders, wide receiver, out. Even more valuable than you might think because of how thin the Broncos are at receiver even before the Sanders injury. Also, not talked about as much, Chris Harris, cornerback, he's out, and that's a big deal, though not discussed. I think this is the time to look to fade the Broncos.
The Chargers, a 14-point favorite hosting the Cincinnati Bengals.
Great trend here. When you have a team who's favored by 13 points or more this week, and next week they're going to be underdogs, and Chargers go to Kansas City, certainly they will be underdogs next week, next Thursday. That big, big favorite this week, looking ahead to being a dog, 32% against the spread. 20 winners, 42 losers. I hate the Bengals as a team right now, but this is the look-ahead spot of look-ahead spots for the Chargers.
The Lions in the desert are a 2.5-point favorite over the Cardinals.
You know, I'm just going to make the case. I got nothing on this game. Fez, I'm going to open it up to you.
Arizona's number one wide receiver, Kirk, is out. This is a big deal. He averages almost 14 yards per catch. Without him, they have no playmakers, no one to go downfield for Rosen.
I mean, back in the Vietnam days, there was the conscientious objectors. I was like having a sit-in objecting to the Lions and the Cardinals. Brad, you got something.
I do, and I certainly don't want to be laying points on the road with Detroit. Since the merger back to 1970, Detroit traveling west, Mountain or Pacific time zones, 13-46 straight up, worst mark in the NFL.
Wow.
The NFC East game of the year, the Cowboys, a 3.5-point favorite hosting the Eagles.
Hey, even with Brad's stat, I'm not watching that Lions-Cardinals, by the way. I want to pose a thought experiment, and we can pick this up next week. If the Eagles, who were in the division round last year against Atlanta, and Atlanta had the ball first and goal on the 9 with under 2 minutes left, At that point, Fez, in-game betting said the odds of Atlanta winning were about 60%, correct?
Yeah. Yes.
If Atlanta had won that game, as they were favored to do very late against the Eagles, and then the Eagles were 6-6, exactly what they are this year, how much differently would we be thinking about this Eagles team?
Oh, I think 2 points worth is the tax that the Super Bowl champs have carried all year long. That's why the Eagles are 4-8 against the spread.
But Fezzik, how can the nation have a thought experiment over the weekend if you gave him the answer?
Oops.
I mean, you could see why he didn't have any friends in high school. Me, teacher, it's me, Fez. I'm going to Northwestern. When did you know you were going to Northwestern? Like, how old? Like, was it your senior year, or did you get, like, early admissions?
Right after I didn't get into Harvard.
Pretty good. Point being, hey, the Eagles got the ring. Give them credit. But they very easily could have lost that game against the Falcons, and it wouldn't have really changed fundamentally who that team is. The narrative, though, changed greatly to the favor of overvaluing the Eagles.
And the Steelers are a 10-point favorite at the Raiders.
And as a Steelers fan, I have a little extra insight. And boy, I saw it with my eyes. Now here's the stat. Steelers in the Tomlin era as a big road favorite, defined as 6 points or more, 7-18 against the spread. Even though it feels like one of those must-win games, I'm not sure Pittsburgh's going to respond like it's a must-win game. In just 1 minute, we're going to have Colin Cowherd's pick number 6.
That's coming up next. For all the latest, though, from around the world of sports, Dan Beyer.
You guys talking a lot of football. Here's some basketball news to tell you about. A trade in the NBA is the Milwaukee Bucks have acquired guard George Hill and forward Sam Decker in a trade with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Cleveland's going to receive Matthew Dellavedova, John Henson, and first and second round picks in 2021. There are some protections on those draft picks, but a swap today between two Central Division foes. In the NFL, Chargers running back Melvin Gordon's been ruled out of their game with Cincinnati with a sprained knee. Bears quarterback Mitchell Trubisky returning from a shoulder injury to start Sunday night against the Rams. Jets linebacker Darren Lee was suspended 4 games by the NFL for violating the league's policy for substance abuse. Dodgers president Andrew Friedman says he won't bring in a new GM this offseason after the departure of Farhan Zaidi to the San Francisco Giants. And the LA Times reports that police in Venezuela have 4 suspects in custody following the deaths of Major League Baseball players Luis Valbuena and Jose Castillo. Authorities believe the suspects may have caused the car accident that killed the players late last night, as they were allegedly in possession of property owned by the two when they were apprehended by police. Guys, back to you.
Thanks, Dan. Straight out of Vegas comes to you live here from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, where it's easy to save 15% or more on car insurance with Geico. Go to geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO. The only hard part, figuring out which way is easier. Coming up 12 minutes from now here on Fox Sports Radio, a surprising best bet on a football Friday. I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan, and he is the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
George Hill, Fez, last year, I remember when he went to the Cavs, you were like, wow, Cavs, odds to win the title, way up. So now you're all over Milwaukee, maybe?
Not a factor.
He's no Van Fleet. We know that much.
Guys, it's time for our weekly visit from the one and the only, Colin Cowherd.
Let's go! Go!
No.
Hey, that's great football now!
It's Colin's
bonus pick only for RJ Bell.
Pick number 6.
Bonus pick, I would have taken the Chiefs -6.5, hosting the Ravens, who I think are a little overvalued right now, although Lamar Jackson has surprised me. What would the wise guys say?
I disagree, and the wise guys disagree on this one. We like the Ravens. You know, there's a ton of debates about Lamar Jackson we can have, but they don't really apply to this game, meaning we can debate, is he going to be able to pass well enough to be an NFL quarterback, or is it sustainable that Lamar Jackson is going to run this much? But it doesn't matter. What matters in this game is, can he be effective for this one game? And if you look at the rushing yards with Jackson, 207, 242, 267 for the Ravens. Now, a really savvy NFL guy would say, but RJ, look at the rush defenses they went against. Atlanta, number 29, Oakland, number 31, Cincinnati, number 28. Okay. Kansas City is the worst rush defense in the NFL.
Yeah.
And finally, Kareem Hunt, I don't know how much it's on the field. I don't know how much it is off the field. But they were very distracted last week.
No question.
And I tell you, Andy Reid off a bye is historically good. You would have thought they would have wanted to make a statement to get behind the Hunt situation. I wonder if it's going to affect the Chiefs more than people think. Oh, lastly, next week, biggest game of the year, probably.
Yeah, you're right.
Hosting the Chargers on Thursday.
Yeah, no, and that always plays out if you got a massive rivalry game.
That's what I like best is after my handicap, the person on the other side goes, yep, you're right. That's it. That's the goal.
You actually had me buy out of a bet, I think, last week.
That was so great, convincing.
Yes.
That was a great moment. But unfortunately, I would have won more if you would have stuck in it.
Yeah, I dumped the Bengals like a bad habit.
Now, real quick, Fez, we got our super contest. Now, that's 5 picks a week, $5,000 to enter, biggest contest in the world. You've won it twice, only guy ever. I'm not sure if you listeners know that or not. But the fact of the matter is, we're going for our third. We are right in it right now. And every Sunday, I'm putting out the 5 picks for free on my Twitter. Just follow at RJ in Vegas. A lot of demand for these picks, Fez. 64% on the year, only one losing week. I think the Ravens are going to be one of our picks. What's your gut feeling right now? You're skeptical.
It's a possibility. I want to hold my cards closer to my vest as we head to the finish line.
You're saying being on 200 stations nationwide is not the time to talk. Hey, transparency, baby.
Guys, we are brought to you by Geico, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. We've got our biggest game of the week in the NFL, and it's in Chicago on Sunday night. Rams, Bears, LA, 3-point favorite right now on pregame.com.
And I think there's three big factors in this game. One is negative for the Rams, Fezzik, fatigue. Somehow the Rams, off a bye last week, are tired?
That's what Gurley said in his post-game interview. They have traveled now. This is their seventh week that they've traveled the past 10 weeks.
Okay, so even with the bye, the extra trip to Colorado, because they were going to stay there before Mexico City, the fires. I've never seen a team off a bye talking about being tired after one game, but you got to wonder, why would he say it if it weren't true? Now, second factor, positive for LA, Tlaib. 4 games with Tlaib this year, first three and the last. The Rams gave up about 14 points a game, 2 touchdowns. Great, great defense. In the other 8 games in the middle, Rams have given up more than 30 points a game. So obviously not worth 16 points, but I think Tlaib probably more valuable than a lot of people think. Finally, a negative for Chicago. What are the Bears supposed to be? Run the ball effectively, impact plays on defense, mobile quarterback. Okay, let's start with running the ball. Last 5 games, this is the yards per attempt for the Bears. Now, the NFL average is a little over 4 yards an attempt. 2.6, 2.5, 3.8, 2.5, 3.7. So not once average. The Bears have not even gained yards per attempt, an average amount, even once in the last 5 games. In the prior 4 games, the Bears, 4.5, 5.3, 5.4, 5.3. So way, 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 way above average. Something has fundamentally changed with the Bears and not for the better. You add this up, I lean Rams. I'm not going to bet it. Fez, lean or like?
I like the Bears.
And you like them?
Yeah, I gave it out early in the week at +3 for my early release, and it's the weather, the fact that the temperature's below 30 degrees, big advantage for the Bears.
Guys, we do have college football this Saturday. Army, a 7-point favorite over Navy.
Yeah, and I lean with Navy. Lean, not a like. So this is one you don't necessarily pizza money on Navy. +7. And speaking of the +7, if you would have bet Navy +7 against Army last 16 times these two have met, you'd be 16-0 on the Navy side of things. Largest underdog role for Navy in this rivalry since 1991. Lean on Navy +7.
You got to think, if it's on TV and it's football on Saturday, we wouldn't talk Army-Navy if we had a 7-hour show. But hey, you got to love it. Action, action, action. When we come back, even more action. Multiple best bets.
He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you always wanted, and it's money-making time right here next on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. We have Best Bets time here on Fox Sports Radio, and we start with the biggest best bet of the weekend from Brad Powers, and believe it or not, on a football Friday, it's college basketball.
And I'd make the case, Brad, this is the biggest college basketball game of the weekend.
Yeah, so it's Nevada and Arizona State. Doesn't sound like the biggest game, but both Arizona State and Nevada in the top 20. Both teams unbeaten. There's only 11 unbeaten teams left in college basketball. Best bet for me is on Nevada -6.5. I got to tell you, one of my favorite handicapping tools to use this time of year in college basketball. We're 7-8 games into the season. Strength of schedule. Huge disparity between these two teams. And believe it or not, it's Nevada, the team that's played the much tougher schedule. In fact, 150 spots tougher than Arizona State's schedule. Big schedule advantage for Nevada, the fact that they played much tougher opponents, and also the matchup advantage here for Nevada. What makes Nevada so tough against opposing defenses, all five starters for Nevada range between 6'7 and 6'11. Arizona State only has two guys, 6'7 and 6'8. Everyone else, 6'4, 6'4, 6'. Major length advantage here for Nevada. Take the Wolfpack -6.5.
Ooh, Brad Powers.
Check out the big brain on Brad.
Guys, everybody's got a to-do list. Drop off the dry cleaning, pick up some milk. Here's an idea. Let's add, save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. And the good thing is you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do is go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance, extra money in your pocket. It may just be the most rewarding to-do you do today. Here on Straight Outta Vegas, we don't encourage you to always be bad, but sometimes there's a time and a place.
So you want to be bad? Really bad? Vegas is here to tell you the best time to be bad.
George Thorogood, gotta love that. But it's true, let's be honest. You're probably not a professional batter, and you're probably not going to become one. The goal is, how can I have fun and max my chance to win? So one way is to say, oh, no, RJ, don't eat that second piece of cheesecake, right? That's easy. It's easy to tell someone what not to do. But if you can say, you know, if you eat that chocolate without any added sugar and drink a big water with it, maybe not so bad. It will satiate you. Now you're helping people because they want to be bad. Best way to be bad. Well, we know you guys want to play TV games, parlays, teasers, moneyline parlays. We're going to give you a correlated parlay on a big game. Now, what does correlated mean? It means if one of the legs, one of the bets win, it increases the chance the second bet wins. I'm going with the Baltimore Ravens +6.5 and Baltimore under the total. Fez, what's the latest number on the total as I do the handicap? You'll jump in with it in a second.
51.
So under 51, +6.5, Baltimore game, and then Baltimore. Here's the rationale. How do the Ravens win this game? Close your eyes and think, how's the game going to be played? A shootout? Oh my God, the fifth touchdown pass from Lamar Jackson. No. If the Ravens win, odds are better than 50%. It's not a sure thing, but if it's only 55%, just a smidge more than a coin flip, that if the Ravens cover, that it's not a shootout, that the game has less than 51 points, then that's actually a winning bet, that correlated parlay. So if you like the parlays, especially on a big game, side and total, RJ's best bet of the week, Baltimore and under. Fez, thoughts?
Absolutely love it. Baltimore's been running the ball with Jackson 2/3 of the time, and that Kansas City rush defense is ranked 31st in the league. They should have success tick, as they run the ball.
Yeah, and if you look at DVOA, the worst rush defense in the NFL, Kansas City.
Time for one more best bet here on Straight Outta Vegas from NFL expert Steve Fezzik.
I'm on the 49ers plus 4 against the Denver Broncos. This is all about turnovers year to date. The 49ers have been massively unlucky with a minus 20 turnover differential. The Broncos have been fortunate with a plus 8 differential and fortunate in recent weeks. And that misfortune and fortune has given us value here. No one wants to bet on the 49ers because of the recent bad results. I'll take the 49ers to fix their turnover problems plus 4 here.
Yeah, and if you look at the stats, and this is maybe, and I put this out on Twitter, at RJ in Vegas, maybe the most shocking stat of the week. 49ers, 2 wins on the season. They've outgained their opponents. So by definition, if you have more yards than your opponents, you're supposed to be a winning team. Now, I get it. Some you could say, oh, some of those yards are garbage yards, and maybe, but you're not supposed to be 2-10 if you outgain your opponents. It goes to show you, in a very simple but understandable way, 49ers very likely underrated. Guys, what a week. And the support we've been getting, I mean, we put a lot of work into this. Fox, Scott Shapiro, the big kahuna there, a lot of support for us. But the support we're getting from the listeners, that is, quite frankly, the most important. We appreciate it so much, and we promise we're going to keep trying to deliver a great show.
If you missed any of today's show, you can check out the podcast at foxsportsradio.com. A full preview of every game in the NFL on Sunday. We are straight out of Vegas, back Monday, 6 Eastern time, 3 p.m. Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio.